Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live with your hosts, Jim and Sandy Young. Welcome, everyone. I am Reverend Sandy.
And I am Reverend Jim.
Welcome to Angel Talk Radio Live. Our show is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. For anyone interested, Jim and I do personal readings. And if you'd like to have a personal reading, you can call 304-567-3354 or email sandysangeltalk@aol.com. That's sandysangeltalk@aol.com. Well, we want to thank everybody for joining us today. And I'm sorry to say that Jim will not be able to join us. He has the flu, so we ask that maybe you could send your prayers to help his healing. We would appreciate it. Thank you. But we have a special show for you today, The Unpardonable Sin. Many of us go through our lives walking our spiritual path day by day without realizing the final piece necessary for enlightenment. Starting around the year 1998, there became a universal God force that is here to bring about change for good or woe. And if you do not have an intimate relationship with that universal force, it can cause you to continuously stumble upon your path. So join us as we share with you the process and steps needed to gain an understanding of this force and how to recognize it. This is sponsored by the Living Light Center, a church of faith and healing. I'd like to start off by doing a small reading prophecy for you, all right? When you're faced with the most challenging times of your life, try to remember to turn to God, to ask for help, and trust your prayer has been heard. Then allow yourself to be receptive and to receive the answers to your prayer. Too many times we ask but forget to be receptive and listen for the answer. So as we evolve into a more higher conscious, this level of Christ's spirit, we have to let go of many unnecessary beliefs that hold us back. We have to have faith that where we are headed, as long as we are aligned with God, will lead us to where we need to be. When your belief in God is strong, your heart and soul is in attunement with the greater good. And when you're filled with doubt or anger or fear, you're stepping away from your spiritual path. You have the power of the Christ within you if you stay within the boundaries of God. The Holy Spirit may allow you visions in your mind to help guide your decisions. By treating your body as a sacred temple and consciously being aware of avoiding any negative habits, you open a channel to the light of the Christ. And in your belief of the Christ and the Holy Spirit, they invite you to be one with them, to serve in a higher purpose, to make a difference in life, to enhance your spiritual gifts so you may share them with others, and to help lead them to God. For we are each other's keepers. We were never meant to feel alone, but instead to know, no matter where we are or what we're doing, God is with us. He is sharing his love and power with all. Our mental abilities are becoming stronger. Our thoughts are having larger effects on what we focus on. Our ability to sense and feel empathically is enhancing. We are growing to understand the meaning of oneness with all, that the pain and problems of people in one side of the world is affecting the emotions in everyone around the world. For you cannot hurt one another without it affecting yourself. Yet, when we are loving to one another It's amplified by spirit. And we benefit from this act. The more we encourage treating one another with kindness and loving ways, we grow closer to God and His light shines strongly upon us. For we are here to represent the kingdom of God in the flesh while living on this planet, that the light of God brings the gifts of grace, love, and compassion, and without it the soul only stumbles and is misled. Remember that all life is only a transparent vehicle for the light of the divine to pass through unencumbered. So for now, it's time to make the decision that today I will do acts of kindness for others and make your daily practice this. Remember, what you send out energy-wise comes back to you in tenfold. Blessings to you. Well, the unpardonable sin, you'd have to realize that the one sin which God cannot forgive is mentioned in Mark 3:28-30 and in Matthew 12:31-32. Jesus has been performing miracles, including driving the demons out of people by the power of the Holy Spirit. But instead of recognizing the source of Jesus' power and accepting him as God's son, the religious leaders accused him of being possessed by the devil and driving demons out in the power of the devil. Jesus responded by saying, "I tell you the truth, all the sins and blasphemies of men will be forgiven, but whoever blasphemies against the Holy Spirit will never be forgiven. He is guilty of an eternal sin." Blasphemy against the Holy Spirit was a refusal to accept the witness of the Holy Spirit to who Jesus was and what he came to do, and then submit their lives to him. The point for us is that if we have received Jesus as our Savior and Lord, we have not blasphemed the Holy Spirit. We have accepted his witness. To commit this sin, one must consciously, persistently, deliberately, and maliciously reject the testimony of the Spirit to the deity and saving power of the Lord Jesus. And if a person keeps doing that until death, there is no hope of forgiveness and eternal life in heaven. The unpardonable sin is not some particularly grievous sin committed by a Christian before or after accepting Christ, nor is it thinking or saying something terrible about the Holy Spirit. Rather, it is deliberately resisting the Holy Spirit's witness and invitation to turn to Jesus until death ends all opportunity. All things that are good are of God. God may choose an imperfect vessel or person to utilize the restoration or resurrection, but if we should judge that person as being unworthy or of the devil, the Holy Spirit will react with immediate response. One does not want to be on the other end of that. You see, the Holy Spirit has access to all material realms. And when I speak of the Holy Spirit, I speak of the Holy Spirit as being a she, because this is why I believe that. There's a Trinity to everything. You have the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Well, if our family unit is a representation of the Godhead, then we have the Father God, and we have the Son, the Christ. So that would leave the Holy Spirit as being the female. So I believe that the Holy Spirit is female. And so as I continue through my talk today, I will refer to the Holy Spirit as she. So, as I said, the Holy Spirit has access to all the material realms, and she will do everything necessary to protect her children who loves God. So when she comes through you and the Christ is within you, she will recognize her child, and all things become possible. And there are gifts, the gifts of Spirit. They have to be asked for, because every day of your life, if you choose to want to have these gifts, you need to ask the Holy Spirit to please find favor within you and bless you with these gifts. And these gifts are spiritual gifts that are given to you. She can impart these gifts to you. And even in Corinthians 12, 7 through 10, it's spoken about these gifts that are given by the Holy Spirit. One of the gifts is wisdom. And everybody wants to have wisdom, because if you have the wisdom, you have a strong reliance on God for direction and wisdom. And you often have a strong desire to counsel and give sound advice. How many times in your life do you have people coming to you and they look at you and it's like they just know you're someone who would understand their situation and just maybe be able to give them the answer that they've been looking for? This is part of the gifts of Spirit. If you have this gift of wisdom, you're sought after by others for advice, for the insight, for your wisdom. You're known for making wise decisions, which cut through the natural decision-making. Too often, you know, a lot of people just say, okay, I think that's the way it is, or maybe I read something about this is how I should do it. But this is knowledge. This isn't wisdom. The wisdom is much deeper. The deeper understanding comes through Spirit, the all-knowing. Now, often, the tie there between that God-given wisdom to the Scriptures are part of embracing this wisdom. When we understand the Scriptures, we begin to impart some of this wisdom, and we begin to, in our minds, break it down, understand every little piece of it, and it gives us a realization that the Bible was written so that we could see all the things that went on and all the different problems that were created and how to step around them, rather than falling in the pits of all the problems. But with wisdom, we can recognize God as the primary source of this wisdom, and that God will give us direction in life. So, ask the Holy Spirit for this wisdom, and do it on a regular basis, and you'll find that the more that you open yourself up to being one with God, that you will practice the ways of God, that this wisdom will be imparted to you. Then there's the words of knowledge, another beautiful gift of the Spirit. You know, you may see that the Holy Spirit may prompt your mind with images or pictures whenever there's visions that you may see, like trying to see maybe the future or maybe seeing through a problem. This part, the Holy Spirit can give you insights. And if you trust, you have to go within. You have to understand that the external world is a manifestation, but the internal is the connection to Spirit. And when we go within and we quiet our minds and we ask Spirit for help, we ask for guidance, the words of knowledge will come to you. You know, you'll be used to distill complicated situations and have the knowledge about what decisions should be made. And you will find very quickly that others will realize that the knowledge that you have is much keener and sharper than a lot of other people. And you may be selected to be a lead of some group or a head of some department. if you can connect yourself to God and use this knowledge, you'll find that you'll be noticed and you will be called upon to help others. You'll also notice when you have the word of knowledge, you'll suddenly have unlearned knowledge about thoughts or needs of others. How many times can you look at people and you intuit like, you know, that person really seems like they just need someone to walk over there and tell them everything's okay. It's going to be all right. God's here. He's watching over you. I walked up to a lady at the nursing home because my mother's in the nursing home. And she was sitting alone outside in her wheelchair while a lot of the other people were all sitting around. And I walked up to her. I didn't know who she was. And I said to her, I said, "Hi, how are you doing? You are such a beautiful soul." I said, "You know, God is with you and loves you." And she gave me the biggest smile. And she said, "Thank you so much." She said, "You know, it's Easter, and I have two sons, and they always come visit me, but they didn't come to see me today." She said, "You're the only one that's come and talked to me." She said, "Thank you. You have lifted my soul so much." She said, "You've made my day." I was so blessed by being directed to go over there and just spend literally a couple minutes with her. And then shortly after that, the lady in charge said, "Well, it's time to go back in, ma'am." And I said, "Well, I just hope that you have a good day." And she thanked me again for being so kind to come speak with her. We all need to remember that when we use our intuitive abilities and we reach out to people we don't know, the profound effect that we have upon others is amazing. You know, it could change their whole day. It could change their whole life. And how hard is it for us to extend ourselves once in a while? It's important. And to have this kind of knowledge will always be good listeners to the Holy Spirit. And that's the point, is to go within, to hold this in ourselves, to know that we will always be a conduit for the Holy Spirit. Now, another blessing that the Holy Spirit can give us is that of faith. You know, if we have the faith, we have this extraordinary ability to believe what God has said. You know, to understand that if you, in your mind, feel like you have heard the messages of God, or you have read in the Bible the messages of God, believe it and understand it, for this faith will lift you above all of the turmoil. You'll have great confidence, even when circumstances look bleak. When you have fear in your heart, and you're looking, where is this going in life? What am I doing? You know, you need to stop for a moment and say, "You know, God, I don't understand everything that goes on around me. I don't have the answers of what I need to do. But I am willing to be open and listen to you. I have faith that you will guide me where I need to go and what I need to do. And trust me, if you are sincere about this, God will never let you down. You will always get your answer. Now, maybe it's not going to be the answer you hope for, but you will get an answer." Having this faith, usually you're characterized by a passionate prayer life, because it's important that a big part of our life has to be in prayer and in meditation. Because in prayer, we give thanks and gratitude. We ask God for help. But we give thanks and gratitude, too. And in prayer, we link ourselves with God. We go through our day feeling individual, like we can do anything. It doesn't matter. We can do and go wherever we want. And that's good. But are we including God in the things we do? Are we including the Holy Spirit in what we do? Or are we just haphazardly doing whatever it is we want to do? Think about it. If we're going to have faith, we are often in a leadership position because it's through faith that we're given the insights of what we need to do and where we need to be. And with faith, they're sometimes criticized for being overconfident. But are we overconfident, or is it that we just know within our hearts and souls that our belief in God is so strong that he would never let us down, and that the Holy Spirit will roar through us with the blessings of God and empower us with the things that we need to do? Of course, that is it. Now, the Holy Spirit can also bless us with the gifts of healing. And then with this healing gift, we believe firmly that people can be supernaturally healed. How many times have you felt that when you have prayed for people, whenever you have visualized the energies of God flowing through you to others, that it has actually happened? Have you seen results from it? Yes. And when you hold your voice in a oneness with God, you begin to have a magnetic quality about your voice. And when this magnetic quality happens, if you've ever had clairvoyant abilities, it's your voice speaks with colored light. And this colored light could be green light that goes into their bodies for healing. It's a frequency. It's an energy that begins to raise the vibrations of their body and lifts them, just as Jesus had healed. It lifts them. It empowers them. It gives them energy that maybe they had low energy, and all of a sudden now they feel charged with energy. They feel happier. They feel more contented. Maybe the anger they may have had is dissipating. But in the gift of healing, there is nothing that you can't do. It depends upon your faith that you have in God to be able to heal. Because if you walk in the oneness of God's laws, abiding by them, then you can do all that Jesus did and even more. Even he said so. But we have to know that every time we step off the path, every time we decide to do a negative thing to someone else or something, we have just lost a piece of that power that we have. And it means we have less power to be able to do healing. It's only when we come to recognize everything we have, everything that we do, comes through the power of the Christ and the Holy Spirit and our Father who art in heaven. It comes through this Trinity. And we can believe that this is a free will planet. We can do whatever we want out there. But the truth of the matter is that if we want to hold to being one with the light, we have to stay within the boundaries that was set by God. And the boundaries are that we should love one another with all of our heart, our mind, our soul. And that we should allow ourselves to be able to give more than we receive. Sometimes that's a hard one to look at, because our self-centered self wants to step in and say, I deserve, I believe, I need that more than they do. But in reality, if we really look at the big picture, if we follow the laws of giving more than we receive, God will give us back 100 times more than we gave away. That's the big surprise, is that why don't we give him the opportunity to prove that to us? Give more than you receive, and see how well it plays out in your favor. But the gift of healing, a person will pray specifically to be used by God to heal others. It's the intention of what God gives us we share with others. We share the words, the energies, the love, the compassion. We share this. And when we do, it not only makes them feel better, but God restores it back in us with even more. We begin to feel better. We feel more uplifted. And when both of you, the person you have given this healing energy to, and you are combined as one, when two or more are gathered, there I am. God is with both of you. God is empowering both of you to have even more. In the healing, you'll fully realize that healing occurs only by God's divine permission. If you step outside of the boundaries and use the energies to curse someone or to hurt something, it will immediately be restricted from you. Because in turning to this, you turn to a dark side. And in the dark side, it consumes and takes all of your light. And you'll soon find that your abilities to do these blessings of the Holy Spirit will be taken away from you. In healing, you'll view medicine as a means that God may choose for healing. And you may also have other areas that God may choose to help for healing too. You'll embrace the gifts as from the hand of God and as a specific way to bring Him glory. For we do these things of healing to show the glory of God to others. We are but a vessel of God's light to channel through to show God's glory. And a lot of times, people will compliment you. And the answer is, to God be the glory. Now, one of the other blessings of the Holy Spirit is miracles. Oh, yes, don't we all want this? To render the credit and thanks to God alone for these supernatural works. For it is only through God, the Holy Spirit, that these miracles happen. And we recognize that maybe we were chosen as a vessel to help create these miracles. We can't let our ego step in and take over. Because it's really easy to do that. Oh, yeah, I can raise the dead. Oh, yeah, I can walk on water. Can you imagine the ego at that point, what it would try to do? Okay, well, the idea of it is that, you know, you'll never receive this kinds of blessings unless you can give full credit to God where it comes from. With the miracles, you'll fully grasp the fact that miracles only occur when God's will, when God wills them to happen. That's when it'll happen. We can ask, but it is God's will that makes it happen. Will see themselves as instruments for God's use. You know, in miracles, pray and look to the supernatural results whenever they encounter impossible life situations. Because know that they will happen around you. If you fully believe and you fully give credit, they will happen around you. And you will recognize prayer as the supernatural vehicle through which God acts in lives of people on the earth. Another wonderful gift of the Holy Spirit is prophecy. Have a clear idea of what God is saying. Don't just make up things. Don't pretend that you are given advice. Feel it. When it flows through you, you will feel it in your heart. It's not just a mental thought. It is like it's a living energy within you. And this energy comes a lot of times with visions. And in this prophecy, you may hear, you may see visions, you may feel it. Your sensory systems just feel it. But you'll have a clear idea of what God's saying. And you're known for publicly communicating God's words. For when given this prophecy, it's not to be just kept to yourself. You know, it's meant to be shared. And sometimes, in the sharing it, it may be kind of scary, because maybe God wants to use you to stop a war. Maybe God wants to use you to stop a plane crash or to stop an accident or a killing. And maybe you have to go to the authorities to give this information. Or maybe you have to step out in front of crowds and proclaim what you are seeing as messages from God. And sometimes they're not always well received because they haven't happened yet. You know, you may be criticized or put down or made to look like a fool. But if you truly trust and believe in God, these prophecies, regardless of what they may be, need to be spoken. These energies, they're specific to spiritual, physical, and emotional health of people. Your prophecies can maybe help see where doing this particular habit or whatever is going to lead to this and could lead to a bigger problem in your life. The prophecies are given for a reason, and so take them seriously. And given the gift of prophecy, you'll find it easy to comfort others whose motives are not up to God's standard. You'll have the courage. In the prophecy, you'll desire for people to know God, to understand His word, and submit to His will. You know, with the prophecy, you have learned to hear the Holy Spirit and to follow her lead. This is the most important thing, because when you feel like there is prophecy, the words of God are coming through you, the words of the Holy Spirit are coming through you, the first thing when you begin doing this is doubt. You know, why would they pick me? Who am I? You know, I'm not worthy of this. But the thing is that if you've been chosen, you are definitely worthy. And if you ask for the gift of prophecy, then it is given to you, then you can't deny that you are worthy of getting it. And so accept it and believe in it. Now, another one of the beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit could be that of discernment. You know, how many times have we made decisions without correct discernment, and it led us into a bigger problem than what we thought we were going to get into? But with the gift of discernment, we're able to sense and hear and see the spiritual world. We can hear other people's thoughts as the Holy Spirit reveals them. You know, we will suddenly sense a need to leave a situation or place. Because have you ever walked into an area and it's like, that doesn't feel good? And it's like you look around and you don't see maybe anything that's obvious, that's not correct. But there is something inside of you that's saying to you, it's time to leave. You need to get out of there. And if you follow the lead, a lot of times you have saved yourself from a big problem. But if your ego says, I can handle it, I'll just stay here, I'll go against the Holy Spirit. And what do you think is going to happen? Yes, exactly. Some major event is going to happen that's going to drag you down. And it could be any type of situation. It could be a fight. It could be you get blamed for something. It could be you witness some kind of awful event. You know, whatever it is, you know, you have to trust that if you're in tune with God, with the Holy Spirit, that you're never going to be set up just to fall. You're always going to be guided and led in the direction that you need to go. But that falls back to the other one of faith. You got to believe. You got to have faith. But in discernment, you can identify the source of where there's sickness or needs or trial. You'll have this blessing. You'll have that gift to just be able to know. And you can discern the spirit behind a message or a speaker. How many times have people proclaimed that, oh yeah, you know, I am so-and-so, and, you know, I have come here to do this miraculous thing. And they lead you down a path of darkness, looking like it's all pure and everything's perfect, only to find out that it is something very awful. And they're so convincing. It's like they have this charismatic property to them, and you believe it. You're pulled in because you want to believe. You have this thought like, yeah, that's probably a good idea. And it ends up to be not such a good idea. But with this gift of discernment, you'll know. You'll just have this gut feeling that says, don't do it. You know? The speaker is probably going to teach you something that is going to redirect your thoughts in a direction you don't want to go in. So be careful and really think about the thoughts that are being spoken. You know, with discernment, you may see spirits, whether they're angelic or demonic. Now, a lot of times, as we become so attuned to God and our belief system is so aligned, our vision begins to expand. Our body's frequencies accelerate, and it's as if the third eye in the forehead begins to open, and there is like a clairvoyant effect that begins to happen. Now, sometimes in the beginning stages of this happening, you may see like little specks of light that move all around, or you may see like colors around things like trees, colors around the edges of trees, which could be like an auric field. Energies in different shapes and colors. And as you look at them, sometimes you begin to learn the meaning behind, you know, what does this color really symbolize? You know, we look at the primary things, like if you see the color of yellow, it usually means joy and happiness and the sun and the warmth and brightness. You know, so when you see, you know, certain colors around maybe the body of people or animals or objects or trees, you know, you can begin to, you know, interpret and realize that the life force that we're seeing here is the blessings of God's life force within it. But you may find that as you may begin to see these energies as one of the blessings of the Holy Spirit, that you may start to see things in colors that are not so positive. You may start seeing like a mucky green color, which has a lot to do with lies. Or you may see some black spots, you know, which could have, you know, if it was in the arc field of the body, could have something to do with disease or illnesses. Or just if you see blackness around all things, it could be the lack of light, of very negative things. So these blessings of the Holy Spirit that are given, we have to interpret them. We have to believe that when we're given these gifts, there's a reason behind it that we can't fear it. And we look at these gifts, and we have to grow and learn more about them. And the Holy Spirit will help you and guide you in learning how to discern where the light is and where the darkness falls, so that we don't walk into the pits of darkness and find ourselves in situations that we have a hard time getting out of. Now, one of the other beautiful gifts of the Holy Spirit is the tongues. You know, to have the personal prayer language of tongues. I'm sure many of you have seen or heard people speaking in tongues, you know, because they can often speak in various tongues. And a lot of times when people speak this, they don't actually know what they're saying. But if it is a message that is brought through you, it is a powerful tone and vibration that is going to bring about movement of energy and manifestation of many things. When you speak in tongues, you believe God is prompting them to communicate this message, and often through prayer and in specific languages unknown to them, and you begin to accept it. Many people may not understand what you're saying, but they will feel the energies that you're speaking, and it will resonate within them. It'll give them some sense of feeling comfort in most cases. With the tongues, you intercede for others in prayer using these unknown words or sounds or utterances. And yet, some of the sounds and utterances may be very powerful. A lot of the Hebrew words that have some of the most important, powerful tones to them for prayer can create healing within the body, or be salutations to the hierarchy of the light, beings of light. And one of the ones that I have always used is the Kadosh, 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 Adonai Sabaoth. Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God of hosts. And it means so many things other than that, you know. And so when you utter this, you're speaking with fire, light language that is brought through you, that is moving and cutting through the darkness of energies to bring more light and empowerment to whatever it is that you're projecting it to. If it's for healing, or if it's for greeting someone, or if it's for prosperity, or whatever. These words are very powerful. In the tongues, you know, there is a desire, you know, for the opportunities to pray. You know, because using these unknown languages for God's glory is a privilege. And you're able to keep quiet if there's not an interpreter present. Just because you speak them doesn't mean that you have to make a scene about what has been said. You know, in the tongues, you may or may not know the theme of the interpretation of the tongue, but if it is meant to be presented to others, and you have been the chosen person to do that, believe me, good will follow whatever it is that you're doing. Now, there is another gift for the interpretation of the tongues, you know. With that, you've learned how to hear the Holy Spirit and to hear her leading. You know, you have a clear idea what God is saying, even though the language used by the speaker is unknown to them at the specific time. You know, these words that are being spoken are flowing through you from the Holy Spirit. And so, whatever the words are, they will have power behind them. They will carry light, and in the light, they will carry codes. And these codes will invoke sparks of energy within your physical body, you know, invoking light into the cells and every part of the organs and body, that it will bring about movement of energy. When you have this interpretation of the tongues, you know, you're able to translate these words, you know, the messages of God, in a way that comforts, edifies, and it causes people to believe in you and to believe in God. Because you are the messenger of God, and that is why you're doing this. Usually, you have a strong prayer life and may also prophesize. You see, after the resurrection of Christ, crowds gathered, and when Christ spoke to the crowd, each of them, all of them, heard and understood what he said in their own language. This was the works of the Holy Spirit. You see, in the divine Trinity, each can be described as the Lord thy God is one, from Mark 12:29. You see, the Father God is as the body, or the whole, and the mind is as the Christ, which is the way. And the Holy Spirit is of the soul, the purpose, the hopes, and the desires, the motivative force. And depending on the intentions of one, the Holy Spirit can be the maker or the destroyer. Because if you should blaspheme the Holy Spirit, the repercussions will be immediate. Jesus was the conception of the Holy Spirit, and she alone carries all the codes necessary for the recreation. The Christ consciousness is the Holy Spirit, or that as the promise of his presence. You see, in the beginning, God moved. The Spirit came into activity, and in the movement, it brought light and then chaos. In this light came creation of that which is the earth, which came to be matter. And in the spheres above the earth, space and time and patience, it has evolved through those activities until there are the heavens and all the constellations, stars, and universe, as is known or sought to be known by individuals, their souls that are here in the physical world of materiality. She is the circle, or the womb, in which God, by asking, "Let there be light," she takes them within herself. And though at first the light cannot be seen, it still exists, because the light has always existed. The codes of a creation, to become visible light, there must be restriction of the light. The third aspect of the Godhead is usually the Vah. Simply means that the one known as the Logos or the Christ is birthed from the mind of the Father into that third aspect of the Godhead. Still, light is not visible. It becomes visible when there is a restriction of light through the Christ. Now, understand, in the electrical, you have the magnetic, the electrical, and when the restriction of the two comes together, it creates the light. And so, in this restriction, it creates the light of the Christ. You see, manifestation on earth came through the Spirit pushing through itself into matter, and Spirit was individualized and then became what we recognize in one another as separate individuals. In the beginning, the mind of God moved, and matter and form came into being, and the light was the restriction between the Father and the Holy Spirit, creating the visible light through the Christ. And remember, the more you can give away light, God replaces that light, still through the process of restriction. All souls in the beginning were one with the Father. The separation or turning away brought evil. The beginning of sin happened when mankind was seeking an expression of themselves outside of the way in which God had expressed. If the soul were at all times, all manifestation, if the soul was one with God, okay, then we will be in a perfect accord with the law of where the soul comes from. And then there will be a continuous at one-ment with the all. But when the soul manifests for its own indulgences, then there is need for the lesson or the soul's understanding or interpretation to become aware of the error of its way. So, if we're going to make our own decisions and let our ego take over and think that we're walking God's path when we're not in alignment, we're not connected, we're just doing it because our selfish little self said this is what we're going to do, trust me, then this understanding or interpretation, you know, will have to be understood by the soul. So to bring these thoughts back into alignment with the oneness of the all. Earth is a place where we come for lessons, and it's a free will planet, so we have the choice. But the problem is that we are always tempted. We are always being challenged. We are always feeling as though, you know, I don't know what to do. I'm going to just do it this way. But why are we doing it this way? Probably because it's easy and convenient, and it just seems like it's the better way to go. But did we really think the thought out before we did it? Or did we react instinctually, just react? Yeah, that's probably what happened. And what happens in the end is that we come to realize we've only now just created another lesson for ourselves to have to go through. And sometimes we don't get the lesson on the first try. And we make the same mistake a second time around. And we don't get it that time. And we make the mistake the third time around. It's like an onion building. To get to the core of the problem, we have to step backwards. So many steps to realize what was the real problem to start off with. And that is how a lot of karma got created. And we look at it as a child, we did this, that was wrong, but we didn't care. We did it that way anyways. You know, and as we become a teenager, we repeated it. We did it the same way again. And as we become a young adult, we did it the same way again. Until finally, what happens is when we create a blockage within our body that blocks the love energies from flowing through from the God source, wherever that source was, it begins to create a manifestation of a problem within you. And maybe it's a health condition. You know, maybe it's that, you know, you don't have much flexibility in your life with the decisions that you make. And all of a sudden, you begin to feel like your joints, they're stiff. You can't flow well when you walk or reach out for things. You've got the stiffness there. You know, we are but a manifestation of God's image. And when we realize that every aspect of our holy temple, and that is our body, is really a part of God, we begin to realize that when we're out of alignment, these lessons that are coming to us have to come through a material source. And so how does the material source react to it? Well, it doesn't speak to us. Can our elbows speak to us? Can our knees speak to us? In one way, pain. That's how it speaks, is in pain or illness. Because then the soul says, uh-oh, I've got this pain in my knee or my elbow or wherever in my joints. Why is this happening? If we go into meditation, if we go into prayer and we listen, then God will reveal to us and help us see what it was that took us off the path, that forced our body to have to relay the message to us with pain. So we are truly a manifestation of God's image. And we have to realize that in that, our body is a temple. And we can't just haphazardly treat it like a trash can. We have to realize that what we eat, the words we speak, the thoughts that we have, all of these are very important if we want to stay in alignment with our God self. Otherwise, we begin to separate more and more and more, and we find that our life becomes more challenging and more difficult than we had ever imagined. And the forces of darkness prey on, this person's susceptible to these thoughts or these greedy ways or these angry ways. And it will feed on you, tempting you to go deeper into that. And you have to be able to step back and say, no. There are times you have to discern. You have to be able to say to yourself, this is not the path of God. I am being misled. And it takes every ounce of your willpower to be able to walk away from it, because the temptations get bigger and bigger and bigger. And if you have some earthly passion within you that has to have this extremely expensive car that nobody else has, or very few, and it's offered to you, what are you going to do? You know, are you going to say, no, you know, I can't do that, you know? Not likely. You're probably going to be susceptible, but you can say no if you realize what is connected to it and the consequences that will come with it. Only when you walk in alignment with God's will your life be in harmony and you feel at peace in your mind. How many times do we feel like our mind is battling us? Is it that we are walking in some kind of regret or fear or anxiety? Remember, some of this is not just our own, because when I speak of oneness, I speak of we are one with all the people on this planet. If we try to hurt one person, we think, it doesn't matter, you know? But it does matter, because if we are one, what you do to others, it'll come back. You will feel it within yourself. Think about this. When there is warring going on in the world, it affects the emotions of all the people. At some point in your life, it may not be that you're feeling that you're battling a war on one side of the world, but you will feel like warlike energies are in your mind. You're feeling unsettled, uneasy. And it makes you agitated and edgy, and so you're snappy at other people. You wonder why. If there was the blessings of the love that was throughout the world, do you think you'd feel those same feelings towards people? Not likely, because those blessings would lift you above the chaos, and it would make you feel like you want to do good things for other people. You know, when the first influences that caused selfishness started, it was when mankind desired to be as a god. And that rebellion became the order of the mental forces in the soul, and sin entered. You know? Now, the Holy Spirit is often acknowledged, yet little understood, through our life. It's that the Holy Spirit is not just a theological concept, but the active, indwelling presence of God who enables the Christian to live in obedience, with victory, and spiritual fruitfulness. You know, if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Galatians 5:25. We cannot overcome sin by sheer willpower, but as we yield to Spirit, she empowers us to mortify the deeds of the body. Romans 8:13. The Holy Spirit helps us say no to sinful desires and yes to righteousness. She gives us power to forgive when we're wrong, to flee temptation, to choose humility over pride. The more we walk in step with the Holy Spirit, the more we experience consistent victory over the pull of all the things in this body, in the flesh. It means starting each day with a heart surrendered to God, listening to His words, and learning on His strength. And it's about being sensitive to His convictions, trusting His guidance, and relying on His power. So as we live in step with the Spirit, we find ourselves shaped in the image of Christ, not by striving, but by abiding. And the more we walk with Him, the more our lives begin to bear lasting fruit. The Holy Spirit enables people to understand the gospel of Jesus Christ and make it effective in a believer's life. This saving faith in Jesus Christ sparks a life of freedom and joy and hope and transformation. And the Holy Spirit is the agent of this transformation. And as the believer walks obediently in the Spirit, setting their minds on things of the Spirit, this Holy Spirit, who raised Jesus from the dead, now dwells in the hearts of believers, putting sin to death and promising new life. For the Holy Spirit to act actively in our favor, we must become like little children and be willing to accept Christ in our lives. By doing so, she sees within us her own child, the Christ, and there is nothing she will not do to protect or help or restore any things in our lives that we ask for. You see, the Holy Spirit's name describes the chief attribute. She is a perfectly holy and spotless God, free of any sin or darkness, and she shares the strength of God, the Father, and Jesus, such as omniscience, omnipotence, and eternity. And likewise, she's all-loving, forgiving, and merciful, and just. And throughout the body, we see the Holy Spirit pouring her power into the followers of God. A member of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, had no beginning and has no end. And with the Father and Son, she exists before creation. The Spirit dwells in heaven, but also in earth, in the heart of every believer. The Holy Spirit serves as a teacher, as a counselor, a comforter, a strengthener, inspiration, a revealer of scriptures, a convincer of sin, a caller of ministers, and intercessor in prayer. The Holy Spirit assists us as she advocates for the interest of Jesus Christ in our lives. And further, while we move away from failure, depression, and anger, and towards new convictions and empowerment, when we encounter positive results, we thank the Holy Spirit for what she has done for us. And we pray that she will also assist those whom we love, which should be, and as is, all our neighbors, as we love ourselves. Know that when you have the faith and the belief in God, that the Holy Spirit will see the child within you and will see you are one with the Christ and will take up your soul and offer you these blessings of life. Thank you, and may God bless all of you.